So much good music today. Gosh. Our second reading for the second Sunday of Advent comes to us from Matthew 3. It's on page 2 of the New Testament section of your pew Bible. The reading is from verses 1 through 12. Not just to verse 2, although I will read verse 2, but I'll keep going. Listen now for a word from God. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of the Lord. And let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for gathering us together in this place. We thank you for those seated to our right and left. We thank you for all those gathered here, what they mean to you and what they mean to us. Help us in this time to celebrate the coming of the one, the Son. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's good to be back. We were away. The McCormack family was making moves. We were driving a bunch. You know, it's like 1,000 miles up there, and then it's 1,000 miles back. Some folks have asked me how our Thanksgiving trip was, and I've been telling them it was about 9 or 10 minutes too long. Once we got to I-10, we're kind of ready. You know, Florida is a deceptive state because you get to the state line and you feel like you've done something, and then you've got another 5 hours to drive or something. It's ridiculous. So we had some slowdowns on I-75. I-75 was just sorry that we were away and wanted to welcome us back with a 13-minute slowdown around Ocala. So lots of that. But it was a good trip. It was good to see old friends. We saw our friend Charles Reed in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I had spoken to him on the phone prior to going to see him, and I told him, you know, and I think I told you this. I said, "Oh, Charles, I turned 44 this year." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I'm turning 88. Why has it got to be a competition, Charles? Why you always got to try to one-up?" But it was good to see Charles. We hadn't seen him for a while, and we went to a restaurant that we had liked to go to, but the restaurant actually moved into a completely different location that we didn't know. We had never been to the new location, so that was cool, and just to see him and then to continue on and meet up with some friends in Louisville, and then the next day continue on and see family in central Illinois, and then continue on the next day to see family in northern Illinois, where you can, with your binoculars, you can see the Wisconsin line. You can see it right there. It's just right out there. So it was good to do all that. I want to tell you, though, about another little trip, but just a trip I took today. And so I was making moves, and I want to tell you about this trip. But the first thing I need to tell you as a little caveat is I am fine. I'm fine, and I'm here right now, so what follows, it just all worked out, okay? I'm safe and sound. You may question my mental health after this, But I want you to know that I'm fine and nothing bad happens in this story, okay? All right, so as long as you know that, I'll tell you that I rode my bike here today. I know. See, I'm okay though. I'm fine. Here I am, I'm fine. All my digits. No trouble with shoelaces. Shoelaces can be tricky, but I'm fine. So I got up at before breakfast and figured out when sunrise was. And then I calculated that there's some light 30 minutes before sunrise. So I hopped on my wee bicycle and I rode. And when you do that, if you do something different like that, you kind of make that kind of a move from riding in a car to maybe riding a bicycle or something else, you start to notice some things that you maybe didn't notice before. First of all, one thing I noticed, and I had to make sure that this was right, I had to notice that there was a sidewalk all the way from my house practically to the church doorstep. There is, and I know I don't know if I'm really supposed to ride my bike on the sidewalk, but I'm going to wait for an officer of the law to tell me not to do that, because I know there's a bike lane on 60, but I don't think the Board of Pensions has like insured me for that value, you know? So I'm sticking on the sidewalk. That's one thing I noticed. Another thing I noticed is it's really hard for people to find the trash can. It's hard for people to find the trash can. Recycling is tricky. I mean, sure, the bottles are recyclable, but you have to get them to the green or to the blue receptacle. So I noticed that. That was something I noticed. But early in the morning, you have some time to think, and I thought about, when I tell the story at church, it's going to make some people uncomfortable, and it's going to make David Rogers start to sweat, because, he doesn't like me when I'm even on the roof, much less on a bike. But I went by the Taco Bell there on 60. At about 6:45, I kind of looked in the window. Just from the road, I looked in the window. I saw three young women. They were in there working. They opened at 7. I told them they should open earlier, because people want breakfast before 7, but they never listened. But there were three women. They were kind of hovering over something, looking at something. I kind of imagined their conversation. You can do that when you're doing something different. So I imagined their conversation. One of them was probably asking the other one, how much real ground beef is in this ground beef? And the other one said, that's 47%. That's a lot. Almost half. And the third one said, you two shouldn't even be talking about this. We should be thinking outside the bun. I'm sure that's what they were saying at 6:45 in the morning. I couldn't stop and ask them. I had to come to church. So I kept writing. Finally got to Nativity Church, which I think they should really maybe start to call Holy Family, because there's that beautiful little nativity scene out there right on 60, and I would have never noticed it if I hadn't ridden my bike by it. But there it is, and there's Back Row Joe in the brown. He's there. And there's Mary, and I didn't say a Hail Mary, but I kind of said a Hi Mary, because I was riding by. Hi Mary, blessed art thou amongst women. See ya. Kept going. I wondered if there would be the big inflatable Mario in front of the comic book store. There's a big inflatable Mario that they keep right near the sidewalk. And as I did a test ride earlier in the week, the big inflatable Mario is there, and you kind of have to give him a little room because he's crowding the sidewalk. But I remember thinking to myself, if Mario is there about 5 minutes before 7 o'clock, if Mario is inflated, I'm going to punch him in the nose, because I think he'll kind of go back and then come forward again, and that'll be really fun. But he wasn't there. There was no Mario, no inflatable Mario. I was very sad about that. But it was really interesting to make that little ride. And that kind of a move from the car to the bike is not unlike the move that's happening in the scripture today. It's a move from the center to the edges, or if you like, from the center to the margins. That's the move that we see in our scripture lesson today. We have John the Baptist out in the wilderness in his camel hair, with some locusts between his teeth. He is on the edges. He is on the margins. He is in the wilderness. We have the Pharisees and Sadducees, who are very much in the center. They're in and around the temple, in and around the law, in and around the control of the religious life. People are making their way from the edges to the center to offer gifts, to make ritual sacrifice. People are coming in from the edges, the margins, to the center to perform acts of economy, buy and sell, This is what people would do. They would leave their little outskirts, leave their margins, come into the center, and then go back. But in this passage, what we see is that that's not the move that's happening. The move is that people are leaving wherever they are, and they're all going to this new margin, to this new edge, to be a part of what John is doing. John is teaching and preaching. John is baptizing for repentance. And that's a great word. He says repent. Great churchy word. The Greek for that is metanoia, or one Greek Orthodox priest pronounced it metania, which made me wonder if he was from like Alabama or Georgia. I thought that was like a southern way to say it or something. But it's metanoia, which means change or turn around. Turn your heart around. Turn your head around. Turn your life around. Whatever you've got going, yeah, you've got to change that. So that's what John is talking about. Repent. Right? Be baptized. And he's in his ministry on the margins, on the edges, and he notices that the center has come out to see him, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He notices they've come out either to stop this baptism that's been happening, or maybe even some of them want to get in on the action. And so John begins his sermon. He says, you, how does he say it? You nest of vipers? That's not exactly right. He says, you brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. That, I have never started a sermon like that. I don't know that it would go well. I do remember there was an elder in the church that Elizabeth and I worked at together, we'll just call him John because that was his name. One time John said, you people, and I thought to myself, you can never really begin anything with you people and have it go really well. Unless you're Oprah Winfrey and you say, you people are all getting a car. That works. But he started with you people, which I thought was kind of rough. And that's kind of how John's thing is today. It's a little rough. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. So I don't want to really follow John's footsteps, but I see what he's trying to do. I see the shape he's trying to cast. I see how he's trying to move us from the center to the edges, from the center to the margins. He wants to push us. As one person said, he would want to comfort the afflicted, but afflict the comforted. So John wants to push us out from the center to the edges. I'm not always comfortable with that. I'm not into this to afflict the comfortable. But I would be okay with us afflicting ourselves a little bit if we could all do that. If we can all afflict ourselves. Because I think when we look at this passage of Scripture, we might want to recognize that we are often quite like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We are often those that are in the center, those that are in control, those that are in power. That's kind of who we are as I think about this passage. Just as a little thought experiment, you know, we all have about 8 or 9 holiday parties in the next 5 days, right? You're probably hosting 2 or 3. You might not even know about it. Check your calendar. But as you get ready to host your holiday parties, put the forks and knives on the wrong side. Right? Leave some cream cheese out of 2 or 3 of your dishes. See what happens. It'll be bedlam. You know, I thought this was supposed to have cream cheese. I thought the fork was supposed to go on this side. We can be a little Pharisaical, right? We can be fans of the rules. Presbyterians, decently in order, right? I like to say sometimes we're orderly and indecent. Sometimes we put the orders in front of the decency. We like, you know, I'll admit, if you come to my house, just show up in my office, the books are arranged in Library of Congress order. It starts with A, goes through Z. And my favorite joke is that BS, the BS, that's biblical studies, which is a little insulting. BT 75 is systematic theology. BV 460, that's like prayer. So it's all in order. I can be like that. I can be a Pharisee or Sadducee about stuff, and I bet you can too. And so John pushes us on the second Sunday of Advent. He pushes us. He wants to push us from the center, from control, from comfort, where we're used to things, to push us out to the margins, where we aren't in control, where we don't know what's going to happen, where we do see things differently, where we get a new, fresh set of eyes. John is the one who points us away from the center towards the edges. But he's also the one who points us to Jesus, the one who is coming into the world, the one whom he says, I won't be even fit to tie this guy's shoes. Jesus is not, and I want you to mark this carefully, Jesus is not the center that points us to the edges, right? Jesus is an entirely new center that moves. Jesus is on the move, and he is the center that moves. And we have to learn how to catch up with him. And so I think that's why John is messing with us. That's why John is challenging us to bear fruit worthy of repentance, to show that we can make changes. We've got to practice. We've got to practice because a new center is coming. And if we practice a little bit now on the edges, on the margins, when the new center comes, we might be ready. When I was riding my bike this morning, I was remembering this time when I was growing up back in Heber Heights, Ohio, when my friend Aaron, who was a year older, a neighborhood kid, he had a paper route. And he said, oh, it was great. It's great. You deliver the paper, you know, once a week. It was the Heber Heights Courier, once a week. And then, another time you had to go around and collect for the paper. And, you know, you got to keep a certain amount of money, and you give a certain amount of money to the paper. And it was a great job. And he told me what his route was. He told me how he rode his bike on his route all around the little neighborhood. And I thought, this sounds great. Sounds great. And I told my dad, he said, that sounds great. You could be a paper boy. And I don't know if it made my dad kind of think about his childhood and nostalgia, but at any rate, I signed up, and they told me what my route was going to be. It was like over a mile long, along a busy, busy, busy highway, rural highway. The houses were all really far apart. It was pretty clear that as a 12-year-old, to be successful on this particular route, I would have to drive a car, which I knew 12-year-olds were not allowed to drive cars. So there was no, like, charming paper boy on a bicycle throwing newspapers for me. I think about halfway through, the first third of the route, I thought, maybe I'll do this, maybe not. Second third, I was certain I was quitting. By the last few houses, by the last house, which was the house with the dog, which was for sure the last house ever, I had officially retired from my career in journalism. Totally. I was not ready to make that move from the center to the edge. I didn't know the edge was going to be like that. So we want to be ready. We want to try again. And Advent gives us a chance to try again, to make those moves. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for this special time of year. We thank you for your servant, John, who points us from the center to the edges, and what's more, points us to the new center, Christ our Lord, the one who is coming into the world. Help us to be ready for him when he comes. Amen.